Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Yes, sir. And yes, sir. Yes, sir, indeed. You mind if I put you back on the air as David G. Hall?
Yeah, it's Ronnie, you know.
Yes, sir.
All right, David, Stephen, what I'm saying is I'm out right now with a young lady, so I'm having a social evening out. I don't want to keep calling and telling you these things.
Yeah, but I know, but you're basically saying I'm blowing it.
No, I'm not saying you're blowing it. You're not blowing it any worse than Henry does. You know, I mean, but you don't want it so that people want Phil back, do you?
Well, I mean, ideally, I'd like to.
Yeah, you'd like to have the gig, but you've got to do better. So what I'm saying that you do is knock-knock jokes. Oh, man. You know, it just.
But what, I mean, that's quality material, though, sir.
It may be quality material. It may be quality material, but a knock-knock joke for an audience of adults. You understand?
Well, yeah, you know, Mr. Hall, not to tell you your business, but I think I know my business, which, you know, is construction, but it's also stand-up, live comedy and everything. And please don't tell me my business. I mean, I want to tell jokes are funny whether they're funny or not.
What was this knock-knock banana? What was that?
Oh, yeah, okay, here. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock-knock.
See, that's what I mean.
No, hold on. The joke's not... It's not over yet. You got to wait for it to be over.
All right. And bawling is not going to help either.
Well, then why don't you just do if you do what I ask you to do, and
All right, I'm sorry.
And just do what I ask you to do instead of not doing what I ask you to do. But you're always, you know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tell me the knock-knock joke.
Yes, sir.
See, when you say knock-knock joke, there's no adult, and by the way, the little kid eating the pastrami sandwich with horseradish, and did you say that kid said to an adult woman, I like it shaved and neat?
Yes, sir, that's what he said, because that's what you say about what? Well, that's what I thought he meant, too, because he looked at me and winked.
Yeah, he looked at you and winked. Don't think he didn't know what he was saying.
Well, the kid was 5.
I don't care if he's 5. What's that got to do with it? He's got a grown woman. He's got a pastrami and roast beef sandwich. He's waiting on shaved and neat horseradish, and he winks at you. Don't think for a minute that kid didn't know what he was saying.
Well, I mean, that's what I thought, you know, and I got thrown out of the party.
You got thrown out of the party because you're telling Obama jokes to 4-year-olds.
But the kid was talking about it being shaved.
All right, look, I don't want to upset you. Tell me the knock-knock.
The what?
The knock-knock joke.
Oh, yeah.
Take a deep breath.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Oh, man.
Just knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock, knock. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Aren't you glad I didn't ask you about a banana? See, but you blew it.
I blew it?
Well, you're not supposed to go, oh, wait, you know... You just got to go knock, knock, who's there, knock, knock, who's there. And it would have been funny, but not you. No way. Because everybody's lined up against me tonight, just like you all are every time I'm on. Forget it. Sorry I hung up on you, sir, but... this is Steve Mozell, and tonight I want to speak on a very exciting time that I had. And it was when I went to see... A band that I loved very much when I was in high school, and a band that I think you all know that you loved too when you was in high school, you got it, Guns N' Roses. And I remember when I went and I seen they had a reunion tour about maybe, well, it wasn't really a tour, it was just one guy, it was one guy, Axl Rose. And then maybe another guy and another guy. I forget how many guys were there. Generally, they'll say it's a reunion tour of just one guy. And the reason why they say that is it technically has to fulfill the legal definition of what a reunion is. And you got to have at least one guy from the band. So he's reuniting with himself, I guess. But at least, you know, it is, you know, I mean, I know it sounds stupid. But if you say, all right, I'm going to go see Axl Rose... People will go, yeah, so, But if you say, I'm going to go see Guns N' Roses, then they'll go, oh, okay, who, you know, you're going to see the band? I'd say, well, Axl Rose will be there. He's reuniting with himself because there won't be anybody else. So he's reuniting with a version of himself. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but that's, see, one time, I'm not old enough to remember Led Zeppelin, but I know Mr. Henry, who I've heard talking on the radio, he did see, he says he saw Led Zeppelin. Yeah, sure, but, well, anyway, he's old enough, so, but anyway, he said that he seen Led Zeppelin. And I go, well, so did I. And he goes, you're lying, Bozell, you're lying, which is what they all say to me, because every experience I have in my life, everyone tells me I'm a liar. But I went and I saw Led Zeppelin, and it was Robert Plant, and it was Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. And okay, there wasn't no other of them, but guess what? One of them died, so you can't have that guy, and that leaves only the third guy, and that doesn't matter because, I mean, so what? It was Robert Page and Plant and Jimmy Plant, and that made it Led Zeppelin. So I said to Henry, I go, guess what? I seen Led Zeppelin. He goes, how could you see Led Zeppelin? John Bonham is dead. And besides, how could you see them? And I said, I saw Jimmy Plant and Robert Page. And he goes, you're an idiot and a liar because that ain't the whole one. And I said, well, I wasn't as lucky as you, okay? You saw them all before that one guy died. And he goes, yeah, that's right. Read it and weep. That's what's read it and weep. He's always saying, read it and weep. I go, I am reading it, but I don't have to weep. And he goes, well, Bozell, if I know you better, if I don't know you as good as I think I know you, then you... I forget what he said, but something about you're going to weep. Well, I am very proud to announce that I went and I seen Guns N' Roses. I took my son, Steve Jr., with me. At the time, he was 7 years old. But you know what? I'm very happy I did take him. And the only drawback of the night, of course, and I think I've mentioned it to a few of you, is I had worn these tight vinyl pants that I wore back in the day. And I had them, and I had the vinyl vest, and I also had a wraparound kamikaze scarf, and I had it all going on. And I had the snakeskin boots, and I had the whole thing going on. And I got up into the stands there, and I think I took April with me, too, and we had Steve Jr. I forget what April Jr. was doing that night. I think she had a project for school. Mrs. Dorton had him working overtime on some banners banners and pennants that they were going to use in a May Day parade the next day, of what they called a victory parade. I don't know what it was about, but it was pretty weird. But anyway, I saw the band, and I cheered them on, and then they did, which is my all-time favorite song, and all of you Guns N' Roses, they go, take me down to the Paradise City, and I just got up, and I go, woo, you know, and I was clapping along, and I did not know that when I got up, okay, and I didn't know it, the vinyl pants had split from just past my, you know, and they split right up the back, and I had not put on underwear, and there's a reason for that, okay? It's not because that's what you didn't do in the 80s, is put on underwear. So the vinyl pants split from below I better not say, but it starts with a B and it ends with an S. It's plural, okay, so it split there, and then went right up the back. The good news is it split perfectly up where the buttock is, it's the crack, so you can't, if you're just looking into darkness, if you're behind me, and you're looking, and you see my pants, I know I'm doing this wrong, but if you look, you just see crack, and you're thinking, well, okay, that's just like a black stripe or something, there's no butt to reference, but my wife looks down and goes, oh, Steve, you split your pants, and she grabbed one part of the pants and pulled them away to take a good long look. And I'm like, what did you just do? She said, it looks to me like you split your pants. I go, I know I can feel it because I felt the wind. As soon as they split, I suddenly felt a real quick rush of cool. It just felt good. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, that orientation, but it just the feeling of the cooling wind, okay, it felt good. But here comes my wife. She grabs one part of it and pulls it away, so an entire cheek is exposed. And she goes, Steve, you split your pants. I go, duh. I go, God, just why don't you tell the other part of the crowd and all that? And anyway, it all went to hell in a handbasket. I ran out of the theater, or we were at an arena, actually. We were at the downtown something arena, and I ran out of there as fast as I could. I found a car, and I threw myself into the back seat and just buried my face in the vinyl of the seat and broke down. That's all I could do. So you see, if you're going to go see your favorite band, and I'm bringing this all up to a, here is Anthrax playing "Smoking" by Bob Boston. And a lot of kids are going to be just you keep this in mind. Someday you're going to go see Anthrax, and you're going to go, oh yeah, Anthrax, and you're going to take your kid to it, and your pants will split, and you'll look like the biggest stupidest. You just remember that's what's going to happen to you. I'm Stephen Bozell, filling in on a Phil Henry show, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm sorry. We're on the air. We're on the air. Stephen Bozell filling in on the Phil Henry Show. I guess I might as well say it because I was saying it when the commercial ended and then they pointed to me and they said, "You go." I can't believe I've done the whole radio show tonight filling in on a Phil Henry Show without no glasses on. I wear glasses when I work. I wanted to tell you, by the way, about my company is B&B Construction. If you need any concrete construction, we do, as I say, we do residential as well as commercial. I got 5 crews working at all times. We do tilled up commercial. We just did the business park over here in Fairley Springs. We have started on 2 more tilled up projects. We'll probably do another business park over here for long. I know there's one that we got planned. I just bid one out in Chino. Now, I know that Cliff Pettigrew is bidding on one. When Cliff Pettigrew, Cliff not here. But last time I called Cliff up, and I wanted him to come on a show to talk about bidding jobs, and he thought it was funny. Of course, it was not. And I said, I want you to come on. And he started breathing like Erica Dorton. And I said, okay, you can go rot, you know. And I said, I'd fire you if you weren't so good. And then he goes like that. And I think it's childish. It's childish, you know. When I said to Erica Dorton, I said, you know what, Dorton, one of these days you're gonna talk to me. We may be old and gray, but you're going to talk to me. You're going to say words. You're going to say English language words to me. You're not going to be on the other end of the phone going, because I can tell you something right now, even though it's on a phone, when you breathe on someone like that, I can almost smell your breath. I know it's impossible. I know I couldn't possibly be smelling your breath, but it's so gutless of you that the gutlessness of you makes your breath come through the phone. And then Pettigrew, when I called him up, I said, "Hey Cliff, it's Steve Bozell, and what do you suppose when he called? What do you think? You got it." He goes, and I said, "Okay, you think you're a funny man? You know, 2 can play at that game." So I call him up, and this is my luck. His daughter answers, 8-year-old girl, and I didn't hear it. Just, you know, hello, and I go, oh God, I'm sorry, and the child started to cry. He got on the phone, "Who's this? Who's this?" I had to hang up. They got call back. They star 69 me or whatever. I don't know what it's called now. And I go, "Hello?" He goes, "It's Pettigrew. So you're breathing all over my daughter, huh?" And I go, "Pettigrew, what do you think I did that for? Because you done it." He goes, "What did I do?" I said, "You breathed all over me?" He goes, "Erica Dorton, I thought you said did that." I said, "Yeah, but then when I called you up, I saw your number come in and I hear breathing." He goes, "That was probably my daughter or my son. They were screwing around." I said, "You are lying to me now." So you see, the economy is bad, and you'd think everybody wants a job. Well, they do, but there's certain people you can't do without, and one of them, for me, is Cliff Pettigrew, who's the best cement finisher I ever met. Bar none, the best cement finisher I ever met. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one thing I know, it's concrete, and I know how to pour cement, and I know how to finish cement. And I can take a look at a sidewalk, I can take a look at a slab, and I can tell you whether it's a professionally done job, whether it's a sloppy job, whether it needed to tie, you know, I can tell you. and the concrete we pour at B&B Construction, it's like glass. Yeah. Feel real good. Y'all can take a look at that good concrete slab out there. Like glass, man. There ain't no trowel marks. We bull float all that water to the top. It looked good. And I'll tell you something else, too. I tried to tell my finishers, I said, now let me tell you something. I run a very good organization. It's a family organization. I don't want any beer. I don't want any beer. No beer, no beer. And they said to me, you know what, Mr. Bozell? We are cement finishers. We don't finish no slab without a case of beer. So you can take your company, you can take your trowels, you can take your cement, you can take the cement truck, and you can take everything you've ever been or ever want to be, and you can go ahead and stick it way, way up there and twist it to the left. And I said, what are you guys trying to tell me right now? And they were about ready to leave. And so I was blackmailed into buying them beer, and that's been the way ever since. Now, I don't think it's right. I don't think a cement finisher can say to a man who owns a company, I ain't going to finish this slab unless you get us a case. And none of that Scotch brand stuff either. I want a real case of beer. And so that's what's happened to my company. Now, yes, we do pour good slab. I lay out a slab as good as any man. And I know that sounds bad. What I mean is I'm talking about a slab of cement. I'm not talking about what a lot of the, you know, juvenile people that think they're, if I'm talking about, flopping my slab out. I'm sorry. I'm saying it wrong. When I talk about pulling out my slab, no. When I'm talking about, you know, when I say that I want a bunch of guys working on my slab, what's that? Why does he have to call me now? Hello?
What are you doing now, Bozell?
I'm trying to explain.
Yeah, I know, but all you got to do is when you pour a... What is this when you got guys working on your slab? What is that?
I'm talking about pouring cement.
Then say it! I got my girlfriend is sitting here. She is beside herself with laughter. She's laughed so hard, and usually this would be exciting for me. But tonight, it's not. Tonight, I'm depressed. She's laughed so hard, she's wet. Two pairs of panties.
Okay, I've been told that I gotta dump out and just dump all over that, so that's what I did. I beeped it and dumped on it. Is that right?
Mm.
Okay, thank you. All I'm trying to say is that when we pour a slab, we pour a beautiful slab. And when my cement finishers, in order to finish a beautiful slab like that and make that slab look like glass, they got to have themselves a case of beer. Man, I feel blackmailed. Oh, God, I feel so controlled. I feel manipulated and used and loosened up. And I don't like it. I don't like it because I'm very much a family man, and I don't like my crew drinking on a job, you know. But I feel like they've loosened me up when they demand beer in order to have the slab that they, well, for, never mind what I said. Anyway, if you need any concrete construction work done, if you don't need any concrete construction work done, don't call me. But if you do call me. And we'll give the number at the end of the show. It's called B&B Construction. We're out of Corona, California. The reason why we call it B&B is my name is Bozell. And there's not two Bozells, there's only me. But I call it B&B because it's Bozell and keep thinking about Bozell. So I want Bozell and Bozell. Just Bozell keeps coming at you. If I could call it B&B, I would. But I was asked about that, and my cousin, Jerry Newman, who I've known, you know, as a good friend of mine, and he's my cousin too, he said, don't say B&B because now they're going to start thinking they're going to think you got a real problem, you know. And I said, well, I just want them to know B&B yet again. And he said, two B's is good enough. I said, well, all right. If you want to go ahead and you want to sign off on that? And he said, sure. He said, why do you want me to sign off on that? I said, well, I'm talking too much now. Now I know everyone hates me. I'm wrapping up. Steve Bozell here with you. And I got another, we're going to be talking about kangaroos. Not kangaroos. What did I say that for? I saw a sound effect said kangaroo. We're going to talk about, when we come back, I'm going to talk about taking my kids to the zoo. And this is a recording here. I used my phone to record a sea lion and what the sea lion means to me when I come back here on the Phil Hendry Show. I love animals. We do need to get them under control. If we're going to have them in captivity, we need for them to, I think, respect where they are and the fact that we're giving them, you know, like a sea lion. Man, I saw this one sea lion eat the very finest sushi. I'm not kidding either. I've never had fish that good, and I saw this one sea lion wolfing down top drawer sushi, and I felt like, why don't I get to have that? Well, all right, I'll talk to you in a little bit. Stephen Bozell on the Phil Henry Show. God. Stumbling all over and everything.
Doing better. Just don't talk so much.
Gotta talk a lot because this is just...
Don't say stupid stuff.
Phil Henry.
Hello, everybody. My name is Stephen Bozell, and I'm on the Phil Henry Show tonight, and you can probably tell that. You know right away that I'm not Phil Henry, so I'm not fooling nobody on that one, and I'm not trying to fool nobody. I don't think that I could ever become Phil Henry unless a fairy godmother or the fairy mother, not a fairy, but... That's another thing I told my daughter. I'm so very sorry that you live in the time that you live in, honey, because there was a time when a father could sit down with his daughter and tell her a fairy story, and no one's going to go ha-ha and point at you and make me feel like I'm doing something dirty. But now, you know, there you go. And my daughter said, well, Daddy, what do you mean? I said, there used to be fairy stories, you know, because a fairy is a little tiny person with wings and everything. And so she goes to school, and she reports this. Pardon me. She goes to school and reports this to Erica Dorton, who is the headmistress that I've told you so very much about. And she told Ms. Dorton that I called gay people little tiny ones with wings. And Dorton calls, and so did some other of the ones that, and the school calls. And they said you are to report to CK Corona School to explain to the students in your daughter's class why you call gay people miniatures. And they got wings and everything. And I go down there, and I said to this lady, Crockett, Mrs. Crockett was her name. She's not Erica Dorton. Dorton doesn't see anybody, and she won't talk to nobody. Her door is closed only to the most, you know, special of people. And I guess that means the parents, are so, like, you know, if your dad's a rock star or something, I guess he gets to go talk to Dorton. But I don't. Not me. So I go down there, I talk to this lady, Crockett, and I said, what's the problem? She goes, the problem is... that your daughter came to school today and reported to her teacher, sixth grade teacher, Jimberson, Mr. Jimberson, she said that you said that gay people are miniature-sized with wings. I said fairies are. She goes, same difference. I said, I'm talking about real fairies. She says, there ain't no real fairies. And I said, boy, you're a teacher, and you said ain't. She goes, guess what? You know, balls on your side of the net now. I said, well, you talk like you just come out of the holler. She goes, yeah, but you're in the holler. You're in Dorton's holler. She goes, you're way down in Dorton's pit. And brother, the only way you're getting out, if it's somebody throws you a vine, somebody throws you some grapevine, and you better do a bunch of tricks on that grapevine to get out of there. I said, you call me a monkey? And she said, hey, you know what? If the beanie fits. So I was all kinds of messed up. I was every kind of messed up. I was all kinds of dumb as I made my way down to that sixth grade class. And I walked in there. Excuse me. I walked in there and the kids were there. And this woman or this man, I say woman, I didn't know at first, but apparently was a man. Well, he was wearing a kilt. Breasts. That's right. Mr. Jimberson says he's presenting as a female, but he is a man. He wants to be respected as a man, but he wants to present as a woman. I said, sir, whatever, you know, floats your boat. And he said, excuse me, but it's ma'am. I said, all right, ma'am, whatever floats your boat. And he said, you trying to make fun of me? And I couldn't do anything right. So anyway, I said to the young people, I wasn't talking about gays. And this one little boy, Wesley... He's 10 years old. He's the smartest kid in the class. He stood up and pointed at me, and he said, you've got to wipe that smile off your face, Mr. Bozell. I said, yes, sir. I didn't mean to say sir, but he's an 11-year-old kid, and he's got me pinned. And all I want to do is get the hell out of there and make sure my daughter doesn't get expelled on account of I call gay people little tiny people with wings. I said, I didn't mean fairy. I said, I meant fairy out of a fairy book. Ain't you ever read a fairy book? And the kid said, what book stand is that? I said, I'm not talking about a book stand. I said, I'm talking about a book. And my daughter did what Pontius Pilate did. She walked up in front of the class and rubbed her hands together, meaning I washed my hands of this whole affair, and walks out and goes over to a jungle gym and starts swinging upside down. And that's the part that hurt, because she's wearing a little dress that she, you know, wear, and the dress is over her head and she don't care. She left me to slowly cook. Cook on the spit being turned by this Wesley kid. So I said to this Jimberson, I said, Miss or ma'am or sir or madam, what did I do wrong other than to say to my daughter that the fairy book that we have ain't got nothing to do with gays? And he said, right there, you just talked your way right into it right there. He said, you just got to back up. If you're talking about little tiny fictitious fairy people, well, hell, I can go with that. He said, everybody here has seen Lord of the Thing or Lord of Your Ring, or I forget the name of the movie he was talking about, but it's the famous one that you all know about. He said, have you seen the Lord? And I said, what do you mean the Lord? He said, the ring. I said, okay, yeah. I mean, I thought you meant God. And he goes, boy, you really want $300 worth, don't you? So anyway, make a long story short, I got out of there and I said, all right, I'll never again say anything like that. And I even forgot what it was that I said. And all I could hear is I got in my car, because she turned on the loudspeaker that you use for the whole school, and she's breathing into it, was Dorton. The loudspeaker. So she's like this on the loudspeaker. She's going like this. See, all, are y'all paying attention? This here's what you're doing. She's going like this. on a loudspeaker. What? I didn't do anything wrong. God. Yeah?
What are you doing breathing into the phone like that?
It's not the microphone?
Yeah, the microphone.
I'm trying to tell you, and I was trying to tell everybody listening, that that's what Dorton done.
Who's Dorton? Is this the one that breathes into the phone?
Yeah.
All right. You know what we're doing? We're driving around looking for a laundry for the underwear that she...
Okay, I'm sorry. I have to hang up on it. My name is Stephen Bozell, and this is the Phil Hendry Show for tonight, Thursday, March, whatever it is, I forget. Here's a story here that I think is about as messed up as anything that I've ever heard about. This is messed up, and this makes you not even want to go to a dentist. I'll tell you something right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'd rather have teeth that are brown and look like that guy's teeth in that James Bond movie when his face caved in. I'd rather have that guy's teeth than test positive for you know what, because the dentist that I went to is a dirty, stinking moron, and he's unclean. And that's exactly what's happening in the beautiful state of Oklahoma. That's right. The Supreme Court, what do you mean the Supreme? That ain't the Supreme Court. Where is it here? Thursday urged thousands of patients of an Oklahoma oral surgeon, there it is, to undergo hepatitis and HIV testing, saying unsanitary conditions behind his office's facade posed a threat to his clients and made him a menace to the public health. Are you ready for that? Are you loving on that? Are you just dropping your leg over the top of that or what? Man, I've read that and I'm all over that like white on rice. I'm like, are you kidding me? If I go to the dentist and it looks good and clean and everything, and then you find out later on that he's got, oh man. You go to your dentist and the guy's, he's not washing his hands after he goes? State and county health inspectors went to Dr. W. Scott Harrington's practice after a patient with no known risk factors tested positive for both hepatitis C and the virus that causes AIDS. Thank God it wasn't me. They found employees using dirty equipment, reusing drug vials, administering drugs without a license. Harrington voluntarily gave up his license and closed his office in Tulsa in suburban Owosso, and is cooperating with investigators, said Caitlin Snyder, a spokeswoman for the Tulsa Health Department. He faces a hearing on April 19th where his license could be permanently revoked. Well, I hope so. I hope so. I can't believe that. I have an uncle who's a dentist, and I won't even go to his office as much as I admire him, and I know he's a good dentist, but I know his family. I know my father's side of the family, my late father's side of the family. I said to my aunt, Jerry, I cannot go to Uncle Ben's. That's my uncle's name, and everybody laughs. But I can't go to Uncle. He's a dentist. He's not a porter on a train. I'm not, and he don't make rice. So just please, I said I'm not going to go to Uncle Ben's dental practice because I know everybody in that on that side of the family. They don't even know what a bar of soap is. I can smell that side of the family. Just when the wind's right, man. I mean, I live six states over. That's how sad that is. When you live six states away from your father's side of the family, you can smell it coming. Anyway, it's uncertain how long those practices have been in place, Snyder said. He's been practicing for 36 years. Well, you better bet that guy's 36 years. I bet you he's so old now, he just forgot where the toilet paper is. He's walking around. He's dirty, filthy. He's 36 years. I don't care anymore, you know. The Oklahoma Board of Dentistry said the inspectors discovered multiple sterilization issues at Harrington's offices, including the use of separate rusty set of instruments for patients known to have infectious diseases. The CDC has determined that rusted instruments are porous and cannot be properly sterilized. This guy's so old, he ain't replaced his equipment. He ain't hit a... Oh, man. I'll let my teeth rot out of my head. I don't care if they're yellow and my breath smells like a garbage dump. I don't care if my breath smells like a whole battalion of Russian soldiers spent the night in it, in my mouth. You understand what I'm saying? If the whole Kazakhstan army slept the night in my mouth, relieved themselves, didn't shower, everything, and then marched out of my mouth in the morning, and that's what my breath smelled like, I would not consult him as a dentist. No way. I just go ahead and lose all my friends, what's left of them, after they hear this show. It doesn't matter. That's the only thing about doing a talk show. You don't have to have bad breath. All you got to do is talk, and everybody just flees. They flee. Ooh. I have to take a break. And my name is Stephen Bozell. This should be a very happy occasion for me, but boy, the way I've... Just forget it. We're filling in on the Phil Henry Show. Don't forget to go to his website, which is www.philhenryshow.com, and get a pass that enters in the back door. I can't... It's a backstage pass. That's it. Backstage pass. Backstage pass. I got to remember that. It's the back door. It's the back...
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back with you.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Don't, please don't do it yet. I asked you not to do it. Please don't do that. Turn that off. Turn that off, please. Turn it off, please. Thank you very much. I don't mean to tell you what to do. Welcome back on the Phil Henry Show. My name is Stephen Bozell. I'm going to close out the show tonight, remind you to go to the Phil Henry website, and you can see the show log and everything that'll be there for you. And also, I want to tell you that the Phil Henry podcast is available, and there's also a Bobby Dooley podcast that you can also go and have, and it's available. And you can go and have it. Now, when I took my daughter to the zoo, I said to them, I want to make very clear now, I just come over from the aquarium area, and they said, yeah, and I said, now this zoo I took her to was over here at the San Diego Zoo. And I come over from the aquarium area where they have sea lions and seals, and I didn't know the difference, but there is a difference. I said, now you're telling me, And I want to be clear, because a lot of people say, people don't know me. They don't know why I do what I do, and they always make up lies about me. I said, I just want to be clear. They're not laughing at me. And they said, which one? I said, one of them was laughing. And my daughter, I already know, was making plans to report this to Erica Dorton that her daddy was at the zoo and said that one of the creatures, at the time I didn't know what it was, but now I know it's called a sea lion, was laughing at me. Now, the kid down there at the San Diego Zoo area, young boy, about 20-something, and he's got a degree in the zoo. I don't know. I don't know what it's called. All I know is he's full of education, and because he's full of education, he's looking at me like I'm just the dumbbell that he thinks I am, you know. So I go, okay, you got all kinds of education, you got a degree in zooism, or he goes, no, sir, I got a degree. He mentioned something. I said, well, it's all the same to me. I said, so you got a degree in how to handle the zoo creature, and he looked at me like I was weird, and I said, guess what, pal? I mean, you know, any guy that fools around all day long with, you know, in a zoo, I think it's pretty weird too. My daughter took notes on that. I said to my daughter later, you're not going to go report all of this to Mrs. Dorton, are you? She said, I have to, Daddy. I said, please. Now, when you're pleading with your own daughter, man, you've had a bad day. So I said, I'd take a recording of this here, and I want you to listen to this, and I want you to tell me here, this young man's name was Tim or Tibbin or some weird name, and I said, you listen to this, and you tell me that animal's not laughing at me. He goes, let me hear it. I played this. Now he says to me, how come you think it's laughing? And I said, I don't know why, but when we walked over there and my daughter yelled to the sea lion, hey, she knew its name. His name was something like Burton or Carl, and it was Carl. And Burton is the name of an actor that I think I saw on TV, but Carl, and it went. I said to my daughter, is it laughing at me? And she said, Daddy, you got to have a head full of some seriously polluted garage dust. I said, what? She said, no, it ain't laughing at you. So I went back to this guy, Timmy or Tyler too, or I think that's his name, Tyler. And I said, would you listen to this? And he goes, yeah. I said, is that laughter? He said, no, that's just the natural sound of the sea lion. I said, okay, thank God. And I said, that's all. I don't want to trouble you. I'm thanking God. And he said, sir, may I ask you why? And I said, because, you know, I've had a bad day. Everybody laughing at me, telling me what kind of a weird ass I am. I said, last thing I want to know is whether or not a sea lion's laughing at me. My daughter took more notes. I said, I don't care at this point. You can report me to Erica Dorton. I don't care. I'll laugh at her when she calls. If she breathes into the phone, I'll spit in her face. Not really, because she never opens the door to her office, but figuratively, I'll spit right at my daughter's all, Daddy, you're in deep trouble now with Mrs. Dorton, thinking that a sea lion laughs at you and everything, like, then the bad things you thought about a sea lion. I said, I didn't think no bad things about it in terms of, what do you mean, sexual assault? She goes, I can't differentiate. I'm a child. And I said, that's not fair. I said, I'm thinking bad things about a sea lion. I'd like to maybe, you know, make a sandwich out of it, but I ain't thinking about, you know, jumping it and climbing it. She goes, well, we'll let Mrs. Dorton sort it out. So thanks a lot to Carl the sea lion. Yeah, I want people to recognize, I'm not doing this for fun. I want you to hear that, because that is Carl the sea lion. That's his name. There's a very identifiable, right there. See, right there. See him? That's very identifiable for Carl the sea lion. And I hope you die. I should never have said it, but I hope you die because of what you put me through today. And I know you wasn't laughing at me, but that's what the guy says, but I think maybe you was. That's the only point I'm trying to make. And so when you go to the zoo with your young people, well, forget it. I know what I just... All right. When you go to the zoo with your young people, don't let don't let any of the zoo animals get away with anything. That's all I'm trying to say. They're getting away with more. I don't know what they're getting away with. There's a lot that's going on out there that we... All I'm saying is, I'm not paranoid, but don't let... There's an animal in the zoo that's... Whatever language they speak, if they're calling you an a-hole, like right here, are you going to let them get away with that, is all I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that, you know, that sea lion, that when they say a-hole, that could be, you know, maybe they're saying I'm good looking. I doubt it. I doubt it, the way my day was going. But don't let them talk sea lion at you. And again, I don't know if the language that they speak is one that can be identifiable. But if you hear one say, and that sea lion talk for the a-hole or the b-hole or any of the, you know, any holes that, anyway, I want to thank Phil Hendry for allowing me, Stephen Bozell, to fill in for him, although I don't know why I'm thanking him, because this has been a disaster. And I'll just say good night and thank you, and I hope, you know, see you tonight at 10 o'clock or whenever. And also, please go to the website, Phil Hendry website, and find out about getting into his back door. I mean, find out about a backstage pass. I'm Stephen Bozell, and I hope I always will be.
Phil Hendry.